Welcome to Divorce with a Twist, where we smash the stigma of divorce and focus on how to move forward and live your best life. I'm your host, certified life coach and divorce attorney, Shandy Arwelis. Today, I'm bringing you Natalie Rouche, an inner critic life coach with her own podcast, How's the View? Let's dive right in. Meet Natalie. Natalie, tell us more about what you do.
Yeah, so I am an inner critic coach, and I focus a lot on the inner perfectionist and the all or nothing thinking, the more like the bad guy voice in our heads that's trying to stop us from getting to the life that we want. So it's really fun to just go in and redefine what we think is right, what we think is wrong, and play around a little bit with our old belief system. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, who I coach, what I do.
Well, and when I ran across you, we belong in some of the same social circles as coaches. And I love that you speak specifically to the inner critic. And as I explained to you, I coach divorcees, and inner critics become very loud and very negative usually after divorce.
Yeah.
So I asked you to come on to give some of your expertise to my listeners, and I'm very happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm so glad to come and share, and hopefully we'll be able to give off some new information that they haven't heard before. So
yes. Okay. Well, let's help our listeners just understand this concept of the inner critic. How would you describe what is the inner critic?
Yeah, I think everybody has their own name for it. I've heard mean girl, I've heard inner critic, I've heard bad guy in my head, but I think really it's just this overall voice that's telling us often either that we're not enough, or that we can't do enough, or there's not enough time, or in some way we're lacking and we ought to be worried about that. And I see this show up in many different ways. So as we explore together today, I'll kind of give you a few examples of what that might sound like. And specifically for your audience, I would want to be able to highlight maybe what it is that I would guess is going on in their minds that their inner critic wants them to hear. But ultimately, what I like to point out is the inner critic isn't a bad guy. It's not what we think. And redefining the inner critic into more of a potential best friend is what I like to try to do with clients and myself. Of course, I've been doing this work with myself for the last 5 years. So,
right. That's a beautiful turnaround. Become friends with that.
Yes.
Voice and not let it be so critical.
And there are some relationships we have, obviously, that we don't have to put up with a friend who's not very nice, right? And we don't have to put up with someone who's beating us down all the time or wants to point out all the negative all the time. And so a lot of your clients are going to know what it feels like to release themselves from that and wonder, well, what do I do with the inner critic that I can't get rid of?
Right.
So that's where I want to come in and kind of offer some insights and tools to repurpose the inner critic and kind of reinvent the inner critic, because that's all in our control.
Right. And everyone has this voice, right? Sometimes people are kind of, you know, you feel isolated from it and think maybe it's just me, or I'm, you know, why can everyone else do things? But I have this voice telling me I'm never good enough. But really, we all have that voice.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one thing that comes up with that is we think that other people don't have it. But if we're actually listening to other people and engaging in conversations and communicating with them, they're telling us the exact opposite.
Right.
Unless they're posing some story. But when we're truly connecting with other people, my experience is that they can all relate.
Right.
And they have those same thoughts. And it's like, oh, okay. Am I not alone then?
Right. And it instantly makes you feel some relief. You feel better, yes. Belonging and like normal. Oh, wow. I'm not the only one.
Yeah. There's something about normalizing it that makes the inner critic voice not quite so scary.
And so why does it matter? You're talking about whether it's an inner critic or an inner friend, the way we talk to ourselves, what difference does it make? Does it impact our life at all?
I think regardless of whether or not we're paying attention to it, it exists.
Right.
And we've approached that already, but I think the reason I like to acknowledge its existence is because the more you're willing to look at it, the more you're willing to find out what your inner critic wants you to know, the more you can decide whether or not that's your opinion or lots of times somebody else's, the more you can decide whether or not you agree with it or whether you've changed your mind about who you think you are and who you're capable of being. But I think a lot of times our inner critic is a very old story that's not even relevant anymore. So I like to encourage checking in with the inner critic in order to decide if it's up to date with who I am today.
Now, you say we should listen to it, or you like to hear what it has to say. How do you know? How do you identify? Sometimes I coach people and they're not aware of these thoughts even. People are not, you know, we go through a lot of thought awareness as coaches. The inner critic is a lot of your thoughts. You may or may not believe them. It may or not be true. But how would you say is the most effective way to become aware of what it is, you know, you're thinking?
Well, I think it's gonna vary. So I'll give maybe a couple of different angles. One would be start to be in tune with how you're feeling. If you can check in, because not all of us are going to know what we're thinking all of the time. Not when we have 60,000 plus thoughts a day. There's just no way.
Right.
And usually the inner critic thoughts are the ones that are rehearsed frequently and have been for 20, 30, 40, you name it, however many years. So we're not going to be having some kind of reaction when those thoughts are going on in our brains, but they always bring a feeling. So one angle I would come at it is I'll tell people, maybe if they're debating leaving a marriage and they're not sure whether or not the marriage is for them anymore, I'll say, why don't you just check in to find out how you feel about yourself when you're with your spouse? What are your thoughts about yourself? What are your feelings about yourself? Are you feeling more open or more closed? Do you feel more hidden or do you feel like you can be seen? And I like to do the same thing within myself at this point, where I'll notice the moments that I'm starting to close on and I'll check in and think to myself, what is this feeling? Oh, it's fear because I'm afraid that somebody disagrees with the choice that I made. But do I agree with what they think? This either imaginary person or someone who openly disagreed? Or do I agree more with what I think? And kind of bringing it back to the present day. So that's more of the feeling approach that I would recommend. The other one that I would pay attention to is what's the dialogue? If you can find the sentences that are going on in your brain when they're extreme, when they are all or nothing, good or bad, always, never, just right or wrong, those are very good indicators that it's the inner critic trying to keep you safe, trying to help you not have to feel things that you don't want to feel, whether that's embarrassed or afraid or judged. Name your poison.
Right.
And your inner critic really thinks that's important. It really believes that it's important for you to know that you never follow through. But the next step I take with that is engaging in that conversation. Do I never follow through? Can I think of a time when I actually did follow through?
Right.
Maybe it was third grade and I won a competition because I did follow through and I'm the best jump roper in third grade. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care where it comes from. I just think finding the opposite to be true when your inner critic wants to do the extreme thinking is a very good way to allow some relief in, yeah, but what's the whole truth? Even if sometimes I don't fall through.
Right. And I find it's with that, it's challenging it. People, you can override that inner critic. It's giving you extremes. It does not mean it is 100% true 100% of the time.
Right.
Like you said, it's been a tape going on so long, we tend to just believe it. But you can't override it.
Well, and where we go wrong is we don't respond to it. We just let it exist as though it's a fact. And it's just, it never is. It's typically a lie.
And it does affect how we feel, right? Because we, you know, it, our thoughts 100% affect our feelings. And so if you're just not feeling good, you might want to try to tune in and hear that voice and pay attention to what is going on in there.
Yes. Which is why I think so many of us are paying attention to how we feel. Like typically when people don't know what's going on in their brains, when I'm coaching them, they can tell me the three feelings they've been feeling the most often in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Because they know they can't ignore it when they're feeling anxious. They can't ignore overwhelm, and they can't ignore like frustrated. Right. So they know how they're feeling. And when we can kind of play it backwards and figure out, okay, here's this feeling inside of me, but why is it there? You're going to discover things that your inner critic is trying to have a conversation with you about. And it's time to engage in the conversation.
Right. And so you say feelings, start a dialogue. Was there any other angle before we moved on? I didn't know if you had something else up your sleeve.
Those are the two right now. I definitely have some more hacks. It's on my mind fresh right now. So I'll share. I think of my inner critic as the younger Natalie. It's the child version of me. And the easiest way for me to figure out how I want to treat the child version of me is to go back to those moments with my own kids, where I have a son, he's 8 now, but when he was about 6 years old, he was pretty explosive. And you can't negotiate with an explosive kid, and you can't out explode them. Like, right. I've learned this the hard way. So I actually got some really, really useful advice from Kirk Martin. He's a therapist, a marriage and family therapist, and he has a podcast called The Calm Parenting, I think. But he gave the advice of when your child is being reactive, when they are elevated, instead of going in there and trying to teach them something, instead of going in and trying to prove to them why they need to listen or control or force them into calming down, get down on the ground as low as you can and just show them that you're not trying to be bigger than they are. Show them that you can be at the same level and that you're not trying to be intimidating. And so I started playing with this because I would get so frustrated. I'm like, this little punk is being so rude right now, and I don't deserve it. And I want to put him in his place, but right, he's 6. Okay. So I'd get down on the ground and I would lay down by his bed and I'd just put my feet up on his bed. And then I would just breathe as slowly as possible, mostly for my sake, but also to model for him, like I can self-regulate. And so when I would do that, sometimes it would take 30 seconds. Sometimes it would take 6 minutes, but he would always come down and lay next to me. And then we wouldn't even have a conversation about the argument. We would start talking about the pictures in the ceiling. And I like to think of my inner critic as that sweet kid who doesn't know how to control his emotions that just needs me to like lay down, slow down, breathe, and just give a little bit of space to letting go of the drama for a minute.
Right.
Because not everything is so serious all the time. And when I can remind myself to just breathe and slow down and not be so serious for just a minute and just exist and like care to hang out with me, I have so much more space inside of me to become my own friend. One thing that I know a question came up for you, and I think it's because it comes up for your clients, that I wanted to talk about a little bit was, how do we turn off the inner critic?
Right.
And I hear that a lot from clients. Like, I just want to turn this off. I just want it to go away. I just don't want to feel this. I don't want to think this anymore. I'm so sick of thinking about this. And my response to that now is so instinctive. Why are you trying to shut it off? Like, what's going to happen if you don't shut it off? And I picture a beach ball. You might have heard this analogy in our coaching because we have the same circles, but a beach ball being pushed under the ocean water. It's like you're trying so hard to just keep it under the water. But what happens if you just let it pop up to the surface? And I think that's what people are afraid to find out. But do we have moments where we have let the inner critic kind of pop up to the surface and be exposed? Or have we never allowed that to actually happen?
Right. And back to the feelings, that it's such a cause of us feeling so exhausted and tired, and it's just from our brains. It's just from this inner critic. We exhaust ourselves in fighting the inner critic as well, instead of let's engage, so that's definitely something. I don't even like calling it the critic now.
I know. And that's what I've begun to let people know is mine's not even a bad guy anymore. Mine is a friend that I can sit there and collaborate with, but I argue with my inner critic plenty. We argue, we disagree, but I'm not afraid to disagree.
Right.
And I think it helps when you allow yourself to start disagreeing in your other relationships without having to be mad at that person or without needing them to see your way. But I can disagree, but maybe one of the best things I've learned how to do for myself and I teach to my clients is I can agree actually with my inner critic. I can do that because I have the confidence to do that now. And it doesn't always feel good, don't get me wrong, but I can approach that. I can let it surface and I can let it say, hey, you never follow through. Hey, you're a really mean mom. Hey, you shouldn't have spent that money just now. It's like, you know what? You're probably right. Yeah. You could totally be right. And I spent the money anyway. And I'm also a really phenomenal mom. And I follow through sometimes. Here's the last thing I followed through on. But just engaging in the idea, because with the extremism of the inner critic, it wants to believe either or.
Right.
We're either good or we're bad. We're either right or we're wrong. We either spend too much or we don't. And I find so much power in the word and. Just as simple as that. Where, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. And maybe there's a whole other side to this that's true too.
Right. You said you had called yours younger Natalie. I came face to face with my inner critic when I did the Stop Over Drinking program. I was a wine drinker, and I didn't even know that I wanted to drink less or stop drinking, but through coaching, I did. But I used to call my inner critic, or I still do. I guess it comes out the toddler. It was the toddler because it would throw fits and throw tantrums. And I was an all or nothing drinker. I was an all or nothing dieter. I was either on or I was off. And so I did all of that work in learning not to believe it and learning to challenge it and learning to befriend it through the process of stop over drinking, stop overeating, and learning to feel in my body and all of that. That's like what coaching exploded in me, and it was wonderful. But the inner critic is in all of it, whether it's divorce clients or wanting to build self-confidence or wanting to diet or stop drinking, work levels. To me, the inner critic is just core. It's in all of us. We're human.
Yes. Well, and it's there with good intentions.
Yes.
It's there when you're someone that's relying on alcohol more than you want to, your inner critic is there to say, hey, just so you know, life gets scary without alcohol. Like, you're not going to have this. So what are you going to do then? It's like, oh shoot. I hadn't figured that part out. Thank you. Right. But at the same time, there's other people that have stopped over drinking.
Right.
So what do they do? And there's so much we can do just to engage in a little bit of conversation with the inner critic to help it just relax a little bit. So back to that, like, shutting it off idea. I've talked about this book before on my podcast, but there's a book called Soundtracks. Have you read this book?
No,
I can't remember his name right now. It's such a good book, but he's basically talking about how we have these soundtracks going on all the time in our brain. So I like to think of it as the thoughts that are going to be repeating over and over. And the ones we repeat the most are the ones that we are going to believe.
Right.
So if you ever burned a CD when you were younger, when CDs were needed, you may have been like me and you may have had the repeated first like four songs on every CD. And it was ABBA as the first song, right? Like, but you get really sick of hearing that song if it's on all your CDs, and especially when it's on repeat.
Right.
Like, what about the other 23 songs on that soundtrack? What about all the other songs that you love? What about all the other CDs? You can change the song. You can take it off repeat. And if you can't get yourself to that point, because I know a lot of us think that we have to stop thinking the negative things and start thinking the positive things. And until we can switch those, we're in trouble. And that's just not true. They can both exist at the same time. So I like to picture myself like driving, listening to a song that I can't stand, where I'm just like, oh my gosh, who put this song on in here? This is driving me nuts. I can't wait till it's over. And then it goes on again. It's like, am I really going to let it replay? Or could I just turn down the volume? Like, can I mute it? Can I turn on a different song on my phone louder than that song? There's so many options of how we can approach it when the thoughts aren't gone, where they can exist, but we don't have to listen so intensely to what they have to say.
Right. And that's after you let the beach ball come up and you want to face it, because you don't want to just push it away and not hear what it's saying at first. You know, you want to kind of bring it in, let it speak to you, see what it has to say, challenge it, and, you know, kind of explore it. And then you can choose what's serving you, what's not serving you, what's true, what's not true. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully a lot of your listeners have been clients, so they can understand the process of coaching, because that's what we're doing with our inner critic. We're just coaching the inner critic. And the process is listening, accepting, maybe agreeing, then challenging, and having it be coming from a place where it feels understood and heard. So it doesn't have to come in and be like, hey, but you know, like I have to prove it to you. This is going to go all wrong and it's super scary and you shouldn't have anything to do with it. But it's like, if we address it, if we agree with it first and then offer another alternative, it's way more likely to turn down the volume a little bit so we can move into more of the beliefs that we want to be thinking.
Right. And it's a change of perspective. A lot of my clients, they feel inadequate, unworthy. I'd shared with you, several of them name their inner critic, their ex. And yes. It starts to align. That inner critic starts to align with what they heard their ex telling them all, you know, for however many years or decades. And that wears on them. It takes a toll, but we start focusing, you know, what they perceive to be failures isn't necessarily a failure. Setbacks that they see that held them back, you know, when you start focusing forward and you see the lesson in them, there's a different teaching moment and it's not a failure as one thinks, you know, where we just learn to reframe the setbacks instead of beating yourself up about it, finding, you know, what you can use, learning from it and focusing forward.
Well, and it makes me think that I hope by practicing the part where we agree with the inner critic, we might be able to alleviate the need for the inner critic to be the ex anymore.
Right.
So we can be like, you know what? Like, yeah, that might be true. And I'm all these other things. So old story, boring story, not really interested. I'm moving on.
Yes, it's definitely a goal. We don't keep the name ever.
Yeah, but it's such a good practice for validating that whose thoughts are these anyway?
Right.
Like, do I want to continue choosing these thoughts? Or is it possible that I could turn up the volume on other thoughts that I believe about myself even more?
And so when it's turned around, you know, you're, like you said, you don't, the work is not as heavy for you anymore, right? Once you learn it, you kind of don't unlearn it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes, I'm just looking at my inner critic like a kid.
Right.
I'm not super mad at the kid. Just like, oh, you're just being a child and you're super immature and I'm not going to let you run the show. You don't get to scream at me until you get what you want. I'm not going to let you do that. Go ahead and throw your fit. When you're ready to talk about it, we can talk about it, but that doesn't mean that I'm just going to agree with you that you should have candy at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't just agree. I can hear you out. I can hear your argument, but I'm not just going to let you run the show just because you have a big opinion.
How long do you find on average, do you work with your clients to take them through this inner critic journey?
So my program is 12 weeks, which it's ended up being really fun because I watch people's inner critic change, their dialogue, even the way they talk to me about what's going on in their lives is completely altering by week 6. That's typically about how long it takes for them to really start trying on new thoughts and giving themselves permission to see another angle rather than just commit to the old story that's painful.
Right.
So, and the inner critic doesn't go away again, still there, but they're giving so much less attention to it. And it's just so much less dramatic.
And I think understanding, because you're teaching them too. And when they understand what is normal, how it does work, and it feels good. And it enables you to be able to handle it differently and see
absolutely.
It differently. So
absolutely.
Is there a name for your coaching program? Where can people find you?
Yeah. So it's How's the View. That's also the name of my podcast. And You can find me at natalierauschcoaching.com. You can also find me on Instagram at natalierauschcoaching. And I do offer a free consultation right now through my website if you sign up for that. And yeah, that's about it. That's where I'm at right now. I'm looking into opening up a group coaching program by the end of this year. So
who do you work with? Is it women of all ages, men?
The dominantly women, between 30 and 50. And then I also have had several men trickle in, and it's been fantastic. I love working with everybody, but those are men and women between ages 30 and 50 is my dominant crowd. So
right. Those are my people. I went with women to coach. I have obviously men and women in my legal, because I'm a divorce attorney, and I had angry men at me. Like, why are you helping the women and not us? And I said, well, I will coach men, but I just thought I would be more aligned with my female brain. But
absolutely,
I've taken on some too. I literally changed my verbiage on a website after like the third or fourth.
And you're like, we want your help too, please. Knowing all about it.
Well, thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on. It was so great having you.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it was so good to connect with you.
So there you have it, guys. Natalie Rusch. She's an amazing coach. Check out her podcast, How's the View, her website, natalierouschcoaching.com, or her Instagram at natalierouschcoaching.